to all the ladies in the place. Under some pressure, hit and step by Gilbert Brown. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies. The back. The old Gravedigger. The back of the
club, Mac and Hoor, my crew's behind me. I mean, this guy was 345 pounds, and when you have a nickname like the Gravedigger, you're God.
And now, presented by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Packer Report Podcast with Gilbert Brown. Here's your host, publisher of the Packer Report, Ross Uglum. Believe me, sweetie, I got enough to feed the need. No need to be greedy. I got mad friends with Benz that see notes by the layers. True to life players. Jump in the Rover and come over, tell your friends.
What's up, Green Bay Packers fans, and welcome to your Detroit Lions preview edition of the Packer Report Podcast with Gilbert Brown, brought to you by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. We are so pleased to be with you here on this Saturday, coming in right at the last second to make sure you get a preview pod before tomorrow's potentially bye-clinching game for the Green Bay Packers, who are, as we have previously mentioned on this show, your 2019 NFC North champions. Gilbert, how are we doing?
I'm good, man. I'm sitting in Detroit right now, waiting for the massacre to occur. So I'm chilling, man. It's been a good Christmas and waiting on New Year's to roll in. So good times, brother. Good times.
Yeah, we've got Gilbert deep but behind enemy lines.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I got my Packer flag flying high in the front yard. Dare somebody say something.
Fortunately, he's not our best option as far as incognito is concerned. They can see him coming. They understand who he is. So we're not right. Getting a ton of inside information. But as you mentioned, the Packers flag is flying. Gilbert's holed up in Detroit, ready to get this dub. All right. Let's dive into the news, because there's a little bit, and this is, I think, something we could do an entire podcast on, so we're not going to dive into it too terribly deep, but there's three quarterbacks. There's a Packers Mount Rushmore. It doesn't have four guys on it. It has three from the quarterback standpoint, and that's number 4, number 12, and number 15. And of those three, the NFL did a list of their top 100 guys of the 100 years that they've been in league, and 10 of the quarterbacks were listed. There was a Green Bay Packer, and it was number 4 and not number 12 or number 15. Brett Favre was listed to the NFL 100 team over Aaron Rodgers, who has inarguably better statistics, and over Bart Starr, who has inarguably better team success, more championships, but they went with number 4. And again, I think that discussion could be an entire offseason podcast in and of itself, so we're gonna leave that one alone for right now. The Packers extended a key cog inside Lucas Patrick, who is the backup at all three interior positions, center, guard. He signed a 2-year contract extension worth $3.5 million. So he is going to stick around and back up Lindsley, Turner, and Jenkins for the near future. I would also say that all but wraps up Lane Taylor's time in Green Bay. Taylor can save the Packers about $5.5 million on the salary cap if he is released prior to next season. And with Patrick locked up, with Jenkins being the new starting left guard, I would say to you that Lane Taylor's probably played his last snap as a Green Bay Packer. And speaking of that salary cap, Brian Gutekunst restructured Aaron Rodgers' contract a little bit yesterday, basically converting, as I understand it, some of his salary into signing bonus. The bottom line there being that it is allowed as a bonus to be prorated over the length of the contract. And what that means is that there is some immediate, relief on the cap when you can prorate things a little bit more over the course of the coming years. And that's a situation where I think the league sees, or the Packers see what keeps happening, which is that with how much money the league is making, the salary cap goes up about $10 million every year. So they might as well kick some of that responsibility down the street, because it opens up the ability to make some moves now while the team is clearly pretty good.
You know, them quarterbacks, man, they get all the love, man. You know, so I ain't got, that's why I ain't got no sympathy for them. You know, when they get hit in the mouth, hey, you know. Only quarterback I ever really liked was our quarterback. All the other ones, no love.
I believe that. And, that Rodgers obviously not struggling financially.
I thought I saw somewhere him and Miss Patrick just bought a new crib.
And I enjoyed the detail there with cash.
they bought
the $28 million Malibu mansion with cash.
God. Yeah, I got 29 laying around. Let's get it. Let's get it.
I really hope that was delivered in like duffel bags, like a number of duffel bags.
No, Brinks truck. Just back to Brinks truck.
Just back it up.
Yeah.
So, congratulations on Rodgers for getting even more of that bread. But it does open up some things that the Packers can potentially do. By my very, very rough math, they should end up with about $31-32 million in room next season. You got to pay about $7 million of that to the draft class. So they should have about $25 million to work with next off season. And so if they want to make a big splash or kind of two medium splashes, shouldn't be a problem. They're going to be able to do that.
Awesome.
So we are, as you know, cause you're listening right now, but we're doing this show on a Saturday. We're trying to get it in under the wire. Just some holiday stuff, obviously making life a little bit more complicated, so we couldn't get things done on our normal schedule, but it was important to give you the people what you want. And that means that we're releasing this, of course, on the day of the college football playoff. And you should get this with, 3 hours or so to spare before LSU and Oklahoma lock horns in the 1-4 matchup. And then of course this evening we're going to have Clemson and Ohio State. Gilbert, what side of the fence were you on? Because there are two basic arguments, right? Number one is that they shouldn't have the national championship game decided by a computer, you know, 1 versus 2, you should have to play for it. And the second argument, or the opposite argument of that, is, well, having, you know, just one game and no playoff, that makes the entire season a playoff. It makes every game within the season mean more. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of my question to you is, what do you think as far as, did you like when they went to the playoff? Do you think it should be 8 or 16? Or did you like the old system like when you played?
Well, I look at it like this, man. They would love to push out the college football season even more, you know. And I love the playoff part of it, because now, you know, you get the opportunity, if it's just 4 teams, or I would love to see it 6 to 8 teams. But, you know, how longer do you want to push the season out? But to have this playoff, it's still a bowl game that they're going to, which is still in the thing, but it turns into a playoffs and you got 4 teams, but make sure it's the 4 deserving teams. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it ain't just because they're undefeated. You know, they can be like New England. New England is guaranteed in the NFL, guaranteed 6, because they can't nobody in their division really beat them. That's why they always there. So, you know, it'd be good to see this playoffs, and I'm looking forward to it, especially since Alabama's out and Clemson is still in there. But these two matchups today is going to be awesome to see, because, I mean, to me, college football is fun, man. It gets you hyped. It gets the blood flowing, you know, and you know the kids out there playing, because ain't nobody playing for no contracts or anything. They're playing to win the game. So it's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, I feel like this is four blue blood programs, Clemson, Ohio State, LSU, Oklahoma, from four major conferences, obviously. No double up this year. SEC's got one, Big 12's got one, ACC's got one, Big 10's got one. Pac-12 got left out in the cold, which is mostly Oregon's fault, and we'll talk about Oregon in a second. Well, you know what? Hey, if you want to be in the playoff, don't lose to Arizona State.
You know, it's, what do you say? It's what are you saying? Arizona State, is that what's the coach?
Herm.
Name? Herm. Herm Edwards. Of course. Yeah. Herm
doing you play to win the game.
Ooh.
That was Herm. You play to win the game. I don't know if he was talking about resting starters. I can't even remember what that rant was about, but it's wow. It's an absolute all-timer. I mean, no question about that. The Herm
is that
rant.
What was Denny Green saying?
Denny Green shouted about they are who we thought they were. That was his thing. And then Jim Mora was playoffs.
Right.
And then the Oklahoma State coach was an all-timer too, and he was screaming about, I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm a man. Yeah, we haven't had a really good head coach meltdown in a while, I think. Right. There's a lot of public relations experts and folks pulling the strings that are really, you know, kind of taking these guys down a peg and just relaxing things a little bit. Mm-hmm. We haven't had a good coach internet moment in a while. Right. So
it's coming.
But yeah, for sure. So my what I would do, and again, now I understand this, right? So if you move it to 8. Teams 9 and 10 are going to complain. If you move it to 16, teams 17 and 8, like there, you're not going to make everyone happy. It's not going to happen because football is too physical a game. You know, you're not going to go to 64 like the basketball tournament and start playing two games a weekend. It's just not going to happen. Here's what I'd like to see happen. You call, you know, you've got five major conferences, Big 12, Big 10, Pac-12, SEC, and the ACC.
Yeah.
So you give the champion of those conferences all a bid, and then you give the best, you guarantee, as long as they have one loss or less, you guarantee that the G5 gets somebody in, and that's those other conferences, you know, the AAC,
MAC,
right? Make Mountain West. Make sure the G5 gets their shining night in the game. Whether it was UCF in the past, could have been Boise State a number of years. Whatever, just make sure they get their shining night in the game. Then you've got
six.
Now you got six. Now you give two at larges. So, well, a lot of the time, to be honest, yeah, it is going to be the second best team in the SEC. Like the SEC is going to get two in a lot. You know, it's going to be Georgia and Bama, or LSU and Georgia, or whatever, you know, but you know, then you got one other team to play with. So, you know, we can look at the rankings right now. If we're talking about, you know, the top line teams, Notre Dame would always be eligible, you know, as somebody that could take one of those at larges, obviously with, you know, not being a conferenced team. They're still doing the independent thing where they make their own schedule and they aren't really, you know, responsible to anybody else. But right now your other, like Baylor would certainly have an argument to be involved as an at-large. Florida would have an argument to be involved. Penn State. But the point is, you get a couple at-larges in there. You make sure that Cinderella has a shoe and gets to go to the dance. But you make sure that those conference championship games really mean something. And when you win your conference, you're locked in. Do you like the 8-team idea?
But how long would that push it out to, though? Close to Christmas or Pro Bowl. I mean, Super Bowl or Pro Bowl, right?
Right. So it would just be one more week. And so you could do one thing. So like the FCS, right? So I cover North Dakota State, and they have a 24-team playoff, which means that there are 8 seeds that sit idle on Thanksgiving weekend. And then the weekend after Thanksgiving, those 8 seeds meet the winners of those 16 teams. Now, and then it goes 16, 8, 4, and then 1. So you wouldn't have to do it that long, because that's a 20, you know, that's a 4-round tournament. And we're really only talking about a 2-round tournament with one championship game. So you could easily, this last week when nobody was doing anything, you know, bowl season, if you will, the weekend before Christmas, you could play the 8. Then this weekend, you're playing the 4. Give them a week off, and you're still only playing the championship, you know, in the middle of January. Mm-hmm. And which is not that much later than when it would be anyway, you know. So, or don't give them a week off. I'm just saying, you could definitely make a 8-team tournament work. And the other thing I would say is, then you would almost want to limit and say no more 12 game regular seasons. You know, play 11, then play your conference championship. Now you're at 12, and then a championship means 3 more wins. So you could get to 15 and, you know, 15 games. You generally don't want a 16th game. That's a one interesting thing that North Dakota State has going on this year. They are the first, you know, they have the opportunity to be the first Division I football team ever to go 16-0, because they're 15-0. The championship game's on the 11th against James Madison. Green Bay Packer Raven Green is a JMU guy, and North Dakota State has Darius Shepherd and Billy Turner, the starting right guard, on the Packers. So there's your Packers relevance. But 16 games, I think, does get to be a lot. And that's something you have to be considered of, you know, the requirements in the classroom and staying healthy. And I understand that, you know, professional football players, you win a Super Bowl, you played 19 or 20 games, but that's not necessarily what these kids are signing up for.
Right, right. So we got 2 games. What's your picks, brother?
So, yeah, I like Ohio State more than most. I think Clemson was like a 3-point favorite. Mm-hmm. I would definitely take Ohio State in the points. In fact, I really do think they're going to win the game outright. I like Fields. I think that Clemson lost quite a bit from last year. Mm-hmm. And the, you know what, the Buckeyes have the best player on the field, and that's Chase Young, that defensive end.
Absolutely.
He's a monster, and he can help slow down what Trevor Lawrence is doing if he can win consistently against their tackles, and I think he can. I like Ohio State. And then I think LSU is going to embarrass Oklahoma. I do. I just, Oklahoma isn't where LSU is up front. They certainly aren't where LSU is defensively. And, you know, maybe Hurts can get them into a shootout, but I just think LSU is going to separate themselves in this game. That would be my guess.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I'm a call for the upset. I think Oklahoma going to get them.
Oh, Oklahoma. All right. That's interesting. That's very,
very interesting. I picked the first one with you. The second one, I'm going with Oklahoma.
All right. Well, yeah. The only blemish on, the only blemish on the Oklahoma record is that loss to Kansas State. Your guys in Manhattan, Gilbert.
They ain't my guys. Don't
yeah.
Me this microphone here, man.
All right. Well, we're going to take this brief time out to thank our sponsor, our title sponsor, Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. You can catch Gilbert there all football season long. If the Packers have a home game, Gilbert, you're hosting a tailgate party.
Absolutely. And I hope that the Green Bay Packers stump a mud hole in these Lions, which I know they are, and then San Francisco loses. So then we can have 2 playoff games at Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. Ooh, I said all that. Ooh.
Yeah, and that's you know, something you guys need to pay attention to is those Sunday mornings, man. Gilbert always has a fantastic setup, autographs, et cetera, handshakes, whatever, but always a fantastic guest or more than one guest. Guys have been there just when I was there. The Magic Man, Don Majkowski, Green Bay's all-time leading rusher on Mon Green, Super Bowl champion Santana Dotson. That's a great time all the time. And what we want to make sure you guys know is, hey, it's not just Sundays either. It's not just when Gilbert's there. It's not just when I'm there. Every single day of the week, excellent food specials, excellent drink specials. It's a place where it's just high quality, especially after the remodel. Get your drink specials, get fed. It's right there. And what's the name of it? Stadium View. You get to look out on glorious Lambeau Field as you grab a burger and maybe some Crown Royal, Gravedigger.
Yeah, a little Crown Royal in there, a little Tito's for you and a little bit of beer for everybody else. So, you know, it's going to be a good time, man. And hopefully we can send the Green Bay Packers off to the Super Bowl from Stadium View Bar and Grill.
Man, what a celebration that would be at Stadium View after an NFC championship win at home. That would be truly, truly wild. I don't think they would need a live podcast from Ross and Gilbert to draw a crowd there.
Not at all, brother. Not at all.
All right, let's get into it. The Motor City Kitties. We understand. I think most folks understand by this time what's on the line. And what is on the line is a bye. Plain and simple, Green Bay wins this game. They are going to be the number two seed, which means they don't have to play football on Wild Card Weekend. If they win the game and San Francisco loses to Seattle, which is certainly possible, then the Packers are the number one seed, and the road to, I believe, Miami this year goes through Lambeau Field. The good news, Gilbert, is that the Lions are bad. They are
as usual.
Yeah, as usual. I think I saw the decade totals for the NFC North champions. The Packers in the 2010s, they grabbed 6 NFC North division championships. Mm. The Minnesota Vikings grabbed 2. Mm-hmm. The Chicago Bears grabbed 2. Mm-hmm. And if there's 10 years in a decade, how many division titles does that leave for the Lions?
0.
That's right. But this year, you know, more of the same from Detroit. They had that wild, absolutely wild tie against Arizona. That game, if you have NFL Game Pass, they've got those condensed games where they take out all the filler and just show you the plays. It takes about 35 minutes to watch an entire game. That way we do a ton of that at Packer Report. And, man, go back and watch that Lions at Cardinals tie. It is an absolute circus. Then the Lions win their next two games and are sitting at 2-0-1. And they go 1-10 for the rest of the season. A little bit of draft stuff on the line for them. I believe that right now they are locked into the number 3 pick, but they would be able to jump up to the number 2 pick if they win and Washington beats the Eagles, which I tell you what, that would mean. We just talked about Chase Young. I'm going to tell you right now, God is my witness, unless something awful happens, Joe Burrow is going number 1 to the Bengals. That's going to happen. That's LSU's quarterback. He's an Ohio boy. He's going to the Bengals number 1, which would mean that if you want Chase Young somewhere else, you don't want Washington. You want Washington to have that number 2 pick and not the Lions. Otherwise, Mr. Young is coming to the NFC North in Honolulu blue, which is not, not something we're looking for.
How many first round picks did Detroit had that have not panned out?
There's a lot, and I think, you know, for everybody curse, when they think about the the Lions and kind of start making fun of the drafts. Right, so you're mostly, a lot of guys will talk about the wide receivers that they kept taking, right? So starting in 2003, they took Charles Rogers number 2. That's wide receiver Michigan State. Roy Williams. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And then they took Roy Williams, number 7, the kid from Texas who actually ended up having a decent career with the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Then they took Mike Williams from USC. He ended up with kind of a weight issue and got basically run out of the league sooner rather than later. And then in 07, they took Megatron, and that one went okay. Mm-hmm. They took Calvin Johnson. But you're talking about from 03 to 07, 4 first-round picks spent on wide receivers. But fortunately for the Lions, they didn't get scared because a lot of front offices in 07, even with Calvin Johnson available, would have looked at what they did and said, can we really take another wide receiver? And good for them. But, yeah, there have been, you know, a number of really high picks that haven't worked out for the Lions, though their top 5 picks since 07 have been pretty good. Calvin Johnson, obviously, you know, one of the greatest receivers of all time. Then Ezekiel Ansah, who's still getting sacks for not the Lions, but he worked out just fine. And then, you know, Mr. Sue, I would say that Mr. Sue worked out just fine for whatever reason. He's also not in Detroit anymore. But, you know, not a guy that Aaron Rodgers enjoyed playing mm-hmm. against for the first 5-6 years of his mm-hmm. career. I'll tell you that right now. What do you think went wrong this year with the Lions? Last year, I think they thought that they were probably taking a step in the right direction with 5-6 wins. But ultimately, especially – you go to Green Bay the last week of the season, a place where you used to never win, ever mm-hmm. win. And you beat the Packers 31-0. And you get what everybody says and what I even said was the best tight end in the draft. Pick him number 8, TJ Hockenson from Iowa. I still think he's going to be a good player. But you're 6-10. You've got a high draft choice. You bring in Mike Daniels from the Packers. Make a couple other offseason additions, and you're thinking, okay, this is maybe the year we go from 6 wins to 8 wins or from 6 wins to 10 wins. And it just fell apart. Is it any more, Gilbert, than just it's as simple as Matthew Stafford got hurt and they fell apart, or were there other issues that this team had?
Detroit, man. I think it's other issues, you know, because when you look at this team, the upside and the news reports of the coach and what he was bringing in, and everybody was excited. But, you know, once you start putting those guys in between those lines, then you really figure out what you got, you know. And not saying Mike Daniels is not the same as he was in Green Bay as he is in Detroit. You know what I'm saying? So you got to look at the possibilities of what's going on down there. And I think from front office down, they need to restructure and get a guy in there that knows talent and knows what to put together and put a good team together, because the fans are starving in Detroit. But I'm glad that it's going that way for them, because we ain't got to worry about them. Meow!
And I think, you know, I think the fan base there mm-hmm. is pretty ready, honestly, for someone someone different to own the team, you know.
Yeah, that too.
That's another topic for another day. But ultimately what I think happened is Stafford got hurt. They knew it wasn't their season. They traded away their best secondary guy and just became a team that could not stop the pass. And you know, I shouldn't say best secondary guy, because big play Slay, Darius Slay, the cornerback, he's a really good player.
He is, man. Why would you give him away?
Right, but they traded Quandre Diggs. They didn't trade Slay. They traded Quandre Diggs, which really filled a hole for the Seahawks and caused problems for the rest of the mm-hmm. NFC. But the Packers are going to play against David Bluff. I'm pretty sure he's a Purdue kid, but not a highly, you know, drafted kid. I don't even think he was drafted. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure he was an undrafted free agent. And just a guy that, you know, is sort of managing the game. I wouldn't say losing games for them, but he's certainly not winning games for them either. Completing 59% of his passes, 3 touchdowns, 3 picks. He's averaging about 240 yards a game. I mean, he's not killing them, but I don't think he's a guy that's really going to concern the Packers. Gilbert, when you had a rookie quarterback or I guess a guy that didn't scare you, what changed in the game plan? What did you guys focus on when it was a guy that maybe wasn't ready?
Well, the main thing defense coordinators try to do is disguise coverages for them. And to the big boys up front is apply pressure to make him make quick decisions, to make him to do things and get him out of his comfort zone. Because if you let even those young guys, they got to prove something. But if you take them out of that comfort zone and give them schemes that, you know, they haven't really seen before, disguising things, that's what you want to do with them young quarterbacks. It's just to get them out of their realm of possibility of even trying to compete or pass or beat you.
For sure. And that's, I think, what the game plan has to be. If I'm Green Bay, I'm not doing anything more than what they basically just did to Kirk Cousins, which is 3-man and 4-man rushes, mm-hmm. and dropping 7 and make him throw you 1, make him throw you 2, because I don't think this offensive line can block Green Bay up, even when it's just your standard rush. A lot of folks would tell you, blitz a young quarterback, get him rattled. There's no reason to put your defenders in one-on-one situations if you can get there anyway with 3 or 4 guys. That I think is going to be the key to beating David Bluff, is just get after him with 4, have Za'Darius go get him, and hold up in the back end. He's going to throw you a couple. You know, he's got a 1-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. He's throwing it to you as much as he's throwing in the end zone. So I just think they'll be able to get a couple of interceptions off this kid. And if Green Bay does what they normally do, not what they did against Minnesota, but what they normally do, they should be able to, you know, hold on to the ball. What does it mean? We mentioned Quandre Diggs. I mean, I don't know if this ever happened during your career, and please tell me if it did, but when you've got a team, this happens a lot more in the NBA and in Major League Baseball, but you've got a team that isn't going to go where you thought you were going to go that year. It just isn't happening. And so to kind of build for the future, they traded. Wait, this happened in Green Bay last year. It was pretty clear they weren't going to go where they wanted to go. So at the trade deadline, Gutekunst gets a 4th-round pick for Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, a guy they were going to let go anyway. He just, you know, just went and got a 4th-rounder. But when the front office trades away one of your guys, a starter, one of the dudes on your team for the future, is it hard not to take that personally and hard to keep believing what the goals are for that season?
Well, you know, it's like you can't never really question the front office and what they do, because everybody always got the say so or the knowledge of what they want, but it's always the front office. The front office calls it. You know, it's been times where guys have been let go and they were like, hey, Brett, go out there and say something, man. You know? But in reality, man, you know, it's a team thing. You know what I'm saying? So you got to go with it. Even if it's a guy that's your best friend and you see him packing his locker up and you're like, hey, man, what's going on? You know, it's just one of those things, man, where, you know, you got to take it and move on, because, you know, your day is coming sooner or later.
Yeah. Father Time doesn't do any jobs. That is for sure. It comes for everybody. And so since that trade, since Mr. Diggs ended up in Seattle, the Lions have been 29th. In defensive, well, actually, that's their season long. I think they've been worse since he left, But overall, their season-long pass defensive ranking is 29th. We're talking about 32 teams in the league. That kind of tells you that it's a rough deal out there for trying to stop the pass. They're kind of in a situation where they're pretty okay at stopping the other team's number one receiver, and that's because of the guy we talked about a little bit earlier, Mr. Darius Slay. He won't shut down the number one guy. I don't think he's playing at that level this year, but they're certainly giving up a lot less to the number one guy comparatively than they are to the two, the tight end, the running back, the three. The guys that aren't being covered by Darius Slay basically aren't being covered, which is it seems mean to say, but it's pretty much the reality of the situation for those playing against the Lions. They get whatever they want through the air. On a team, Gilbert, that has kind of the identity of balance, the identity of Aaron Jones, but the numbers are just screaming at you in the face, especially because of Damon Harrison in the middle. And he's a guy that plays a lot like you did, Snacks Harrison. I think all the numbers say throw, throw, throw. Is that easy to kind of make that type of an adjustment on the fly when it is so clear that the way to beat this team is maybe not the way that you've been beating teams for the last couple of weeks?
Really, you know, you can't take this team lightly. You cannot, because it's just not, it's the NFL. Anybody can get their tails kicked. And for the Green Bay Packers, is this game here is to win the game, but work on some stuff as well. You know, work on your run game. Make sure that your fits are there, you know, because you're going in. Let's say you're going in, you beat this team, you got to bye. So you want to work on things so it carries over until you play the game again. So you got to do certain things defensively. You know, you want to shut them down, you know, because I'm pretty sure Detroit has to run the ball. You know, they has to run the ball. We got to cover the tight end. I mean, it's just things we need to work on to win this game. And when you look at this game, it carries us to 2 weeks if we win and everything goes right way with the bye. So you got to take this game very, very strongly.
Yeah, and I think that's the big key, right, is no matter what, you win this game and you get a playoff game at Lambeau Field. Now, you win this game, San Francisco wins their playoff game. You're headed right back out to the West Coast where things went real bad last time. But hey, it's still an opportunity to play for the chance to go to the Super Bowl, which those don't come every year, and that's something that Rodgers has mentioned over and over again this season, is just how rare a team even this good is, and this opportunity, how rare it is. And so it's a huge game, and you can't take the opponents lightly. It's an interesting deal personnel-wise, too, because they pretty much know they won't have Jamal Williams or Danny Vitale. So that throws out everything that you were running with a fullback, which is fine. They didn't run a ton. They tried to get the Vikings on a fullback sale deal where they got Vitale one-on-one with a linebacker, and he got grabbed. Otherwise, it would have been a touchdown. And they've got Vitale going vertical because he's a hell of an athlete. But they're not going to have those options. And, you know, number two back, Jamal Williams, isn't there either. Dexter Williams is going to have an opportunity, I think, to carry the ball a little bit. Aaron Jones obviously will be involved in the game plan. But with how bad – a couple of things. So you mentioned that this is a game to maybe work on some stuff, right? So – you got number one, you're thin at running back because of some injuries. Number two, they're bad at stopping the pass. And number three, you talk about wanting to work on some stuff. I think this is a week where they need to figure out, okay, did we really have it with Lazard last week? Because that's what the offense was. Throw to Adams, throw to Lazard, throw to Adams, throw to Lazard. Or can you take this week to try and get Valdez-Scantling's confidence back up? Because when Adams went down, and they won those three games in a row when everybody said they wouldn't be able to move the ball without Adams, Scantling stepped up, and he was the number one receiver. Maybe he didn't lead the team in receiving every week, but he was the man. He was the top dog, and ever since Adams has come back and he's had a couple of timely drops, you haven't seen that swagger. You haven't seen that confidence. And frankly, the coaching staff, you haven't seen the snap numbers either. I mean, he's barely on the field. They're rolling with Kumerow. They're rolling with Allison. They're rolling with Lazard. Is this a game where you can get Scantling's confidence back? Because as much as I love Lazard and as much as I love Kumerow, they can't do what Scantling can. I mean, they're not 6'3" and run a 4.3.
Right.
You know, there's one of those guys on this team, and it's MVS for sure. So do you visualize a pass heavy attack with all those things kind of as aspects of this game?
I think so. But, you know, for both sides of the ball, I mean, they got to establish their game. And plus, they also got to establish the run. I mean, really, when you look at it, we're not where we want to be as well as offensively. So we want to start things in deep. And everybody, you know, the talk around town here is like, oh, they just need to go ahead and lose this game so they can go ahead and get that second pick or whatever it is. But them guys over there got pride, man. And if they can pop off the Green Bay Packers to end the season on a good note and also help their coach secure his job for next year, that's what they're going to try to do. I don't see them laying down. The boys got heart, man. They ain't going to just lay down and get a game away. They can't.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. I mean, they've kind of made it sound like Matt Patricia's not coaching for his job. I think if he makes it through this season, next season is coaching for his job. You know, he's going to have to get stuff turned around in year three or they're going to move on. But it's not a team, you're exactly right, that's going to lay down. A win, of course, means, just so everybody's clear, a win means a bye. It means a 13-3 record. And there's a chance, roughly the way that the line is, I mean, there's about a 35-40% chance the Seahawks win this game. There's a chance you're the number one overall seed. And over the course of the last few years, yes, for the millionth time, I understand the last time the Packers won a title, they were a wild card team. But you go and look at the last 10 years of who has actually made the big game, it's people playing at home. And that is something that, you know, the Packers have had an opportunity to do never. Aaron Rodgers has never played an NFC Championship game at Lambeau Field. I believe the last time it happened was 07 in the cold. Favre throws the pick.
Yeah.
Tom Coughlin's got that red face. Yeah. Lawrence Tynes. Anyway, Gilbert, give me a prediction on this game. And you are certainly welcome to talk shit to me about my prediction on the last game.
No, I wouldn't do you like that, man. Sometimes, you know,
I appreciate that.
You know, you got to live with what you say, and the people heard you.
Yeah.
But this game, man, I see them establishing everything that they need to do. Passing, running, defensively, special teams, that punt, the punting, the returns and all that stuff. It's got to get better. It's been getting better, but we wanted to just go into the playoffs. So I see us punishing these cats, meow, and getting ready for the playoffs. Punished, though.
For sure. And you know what? I actually want to take this time to congratulate Mark Echo. Mark is the elder statesman over at Packer Report, and apparently that experience paid off for him this year. Mark spent 31 years covering the Philadelphia Eagles, but was a Wisconsin native and a Packer fan at heart. We brought him onto the team at Packer Report here now, and he won the picks. We were both 10-3 going into last week's game. He, myself, and Jake Ogden were all 10-3. Jake and I took the Vikings. Mark stayed true, took the Packers. And since everybody's going to take the Lions, Mark is your Picking the Pack champion for this season. And as I just mentioned, I'm taking the Packers. I've got about 31-13. I think you're going to see Green Bay move the ball mostly through the air. I would guess you're also going to see some very basic concepts from them, stuff that's just in their playbook, stuff that they normally run. I don't think you're going to see a lot of variations or a bunch of exotic stuff. I don't think they want to put any more on film than they need to, and they probably feel like against David Bluff they can get a win without, you know, showing their cards, basically. So a lot of basic Matt LaFleur offense, pressure defense. I expect two interceptions, I think, from Bluff, maybe three total turnovers. Green Bay wins the turnover margin, wins the game 31-13.
31-13.
All right. I hope everybody – 31-13, you heard me. I hope everybody had just a fantastic holiday season. We want you guys to all stay safe on New Year's. Remember, call a cab, get a driver, whatever. But stay safe, because we've got Packers playoff football coming down the pike, and we certainly want you guys around for that. Thank you so much again to our title sponsor, Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. We certainly appreciate everything they do for this show. Guys, there is two big time ways to support Gilbert and I in this here venture, and that is, number one, to subscribe to the pod. Tell a couple of friends to subscribe to the pod and make sure they're giving us reviews. It makes us show up higher in searches for the Packers, searches for football, searches for NFL. It just makes sure as many people as possible listen to the show that we love doing for you guys so very, very much. The other way, of course, is to become a VIP member over at Packer Report. That is going to provide you guys with the commercial-free version of CBS All Access, as well as all of our fantastic content and the entire 24/7 network. So if you're looking for Badger 24/7 or any other college team that you support, you want to know what's going on with their recruiting, check out the 24/7 network. I believe we have unrivaled coverage. All right, everybody, thanks one more time, and go Pack, go.